a conversation from last summer that has turned out to be more predictive than anyone could have imagined, but in a way that I think nobody fully expected. With a vast trove of insights into American values and opinions, thanks to his role as longtime CEO of the Public Religion Research Institute, Dr. Robert P. Jones published the book, The End of White Christian America. It garnered a great deal of attention and, in fact, has just been released in paperback. The arguments Robbie makes in this book are as valid today as when he made them in advance of the 2016 election. But the backlash that he also predicted would accompany the end of this kind of America has, I think, been beyond what any of us expected. I think it's fair to say there are many people among us that would actually rather see the literal end of America itself rather than the kinds of changes Robbie's meticulous research describes as inevitable. With that in mind, here's that conversation from July of 2016. There are two enormous questions implicit in the book's title, The End of White Christian America. How big a change is this for our nation, and what does it mean for those who simply refuse to face this change? I'd like for you to address both of those questions, if you would.
Well, you know, it's an enormous change, and what's, I think, striking about it and what really made me write the book is that it's a change that in many ways has been right in front of us, but not one that I think had been identified. So just to give you, you know, a sense of it, I mean, we've all known that, you know, the country's been shifting in terms of its demographics, becoming more diverse, the younger generation is more diverse than older older generations, and the demographers have been telling us, you know, first they told us it was going to be 2050 when the country was going to be a majority minority nation, a non-white nation. Then that number got moved up to 2042 as the changes have been accelerating. But I think what people miss is that we had actually already crossed a very significant threshold, and that is we had moved just during the last decade from being a majority white Christian country to a minority white Christian country. And that shift, I think, helps really explain a lot of the visceral reactions we're seeing in today's politics, a lot of the anxieties that we're seeing, particularly among conservative white Christians in the country. And just to give you, you know, two quick numbers. So at the beginning of Barack Obama's presidency, the country was 54% white and Christian. So still solidly majority. Our latest numbers at the end of 2015 show that number has slipped to 45%. So just during Barack Obama's presidency, we've gone from being a 54% white Christian nation to a 45% white Christian nation.
That is amazing. When did this change occur statistically? Was it within this period of the Obama administration, or what else would you say about that?
Well, you know, we had really the 1990s were the time when we really began to see these trends accelerate. We began to see, you know, it was important to remember that in the 1990s, when you asked people about their religious affiliation, less than 10% of the country in the early 1990s claimed no religious affiliation at all. And the country was still even majority white and Protestant in the early 1990s. But what we began to see over time, like today, for example, you know, 23% of the country claims no religious affiliation whatsoever. So that's part of the story, is this kind of, you know, people actually leaving formal affiliations with religion, and that has happened disproportionately among white religious Americans. And so that's part of the story that we're seeing today. But we really do see it beginning in the 1990s, but then really accelerating over these last 10 years. And, you know, the other thing to say, I think, is that there's been a couple of important symbols. I've mentioned Barack Obama's presidency. He obviously, of course, is the first African-American president who obviously doesn't come from the world of white Christian America. One more just in 2010, in the same period that the U.S. Supreme Court lost its last Protestant justice. Historically, 91 of the 112 justices that have ever sat on the court have been Protestant, and we lost our last Protestant in 2010. And if Merrick Garland is confirmed, we would have a Supreme Court that consists of five Catholic justices and four Jews.
Goodness gracious. Well, when do you think the public started really seeing the effects of the shift?
Yeah. Well, you know, you and I have talked a lot about the rise of the Christian right in the 1980s and the 1990s. And I think with the benefit of hindsight, you know, we can see that more was going on there than just a reaction to this kind of what we're seeing as the kind of libertine 1960s. You know, that was that sort of shock to the system was real, but it sort of set off, you know, a number of other shock waves. And that so the Christian right, I think, was kind of one piece of that reaction. But even what's different, I think, today is that, you know, in the 80s and 90s, I mean, the kind of phrase the moral majority was used, you know, by the Christian right. And they had a way of kind of making a claim that they had their fingers on the center of American culture and that they were really standing for mainstream America. And I think what's different today is that when we see conservative Christians, you know, in the public sphere, they're not really, even they know they can't make that argument anymore. You know, so the country, again, so one other thing is the same period, the country's gone from being, in 2008, a country that only 4 in 10 supported gay marriage, and now 53% support gay marriage. And so that's another sort of big cultural shift. And I think the what has changed is that for the kind of conservative Christian movement that's sort of overwhelmingly made up of white Christians, they have sort of sensed that the country has sort of moved in a way that not only demographically but culturally they're no longer at the center of where the country is. And that dynamic, I think, has really set the stage well for kind of where we are in the campaign that we're seeing today.
You know, we have a tendency, and right now it's on steroids, to blame almost everything that happens on politics. In this case, this is not a consequence of politics nearly so much as it is a phenomenon that has changed politics. Would that be an accurate statement?
Yeah, you know, I think if we're, you know, we're thinking about Donald Trump's rise, I think, you know, within the Republican Party, I think it's not really possible to think about that being a reality if he hadn't stepped onto the stage just as the curtain was coming down on the last act of, you know, white Christian America. And I think it's that sense of, you know, what we're seeing in the survey data among white evangelicals and white Christians generally is the sense of deep sense of nostalgia for the past, a real sense of anxiety and vulnerability about the country changing, and their vision that they had, I think, of what America is and what the country is. You know, they feel that, I think, slipping away. And I think that sense of anxiety, anger, and a real sense of nostalgia for the past. So Trump's slogan, for example, of make America great again, you know, the power that last word again has is really dependent on these cultural changes that we've been talking about and the sense of anxiety that that many white conservative Christians feel around those changes.
Rami, do you see segments of our population that are really embracing these changes effectively?
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things I do in the book is I begin the book with an obituary for white Christian America, and I end the book with a eulogy where I try to kind of address, you know, where different groups are in reacting to the end of this era in American and public life. And, you know, I do think there are some groups that are trying to sort this out. I mean, the mainline Protestant churches, you know, the Episcopalians, the kind of more liberal or progressive wing of white Protestantism, has had a few more decades to deal with this because their decline actually came more in the 70s and 80s and kind of and 90s and has, you know, that now stabilized a bit. So they've had a few more decades to kind of think about what it means, you know, for to kind of move from the center of power to being one among many groups at the table. I think the group that is struggling with this are really white evangelical Christians who really have only seen their numbers declining in the last 10 years. So before that, there was this sense that white evangelicals were looking at their more liberal brethren and blaming liberal theology for their decline. Mm-hmm. And now what we see is actually what the real story is that they just experienced the decline a few decades before white evangelicals have.
My own sense is, Robbie, that white Americans are not going easily into that good night. And so it makes me ask, is what's happening among white Americans and some fear because of what's happening, does this relate at all to issues like the white-on-black crime that we're seeing, or maybe not always crime, but the white-on-black killing that we're seeing even in the community that is called and empowered to protect people rather than not to protect them? Is that a part of this as well?
Yeah, no, I spent a whole chapter, you know, trying to unpack race and racial perceptions and how that's playing a role here. And, you know, with Alton Sterling, with Michael Brown, with, you know, these other killings of African-American men by police, we do see a very dramatic difference and you know, part of this is about, like, what is the perception? And we had a survey question where we asked, do you think the recent killings of African-American men by police are part of a broader pattern of how police treat African-Americans, or do you think they're simply isolated incidents? And what's remarkable is that we've asked this question a number of times. The same pattern always emerges. About 8 in 10 African-Americans say this is absolutely part of a pattern of the way police treat African-Americans. But when you look at whites overall, only about 45% of whites agree with that statement. So it's about half as many whites agree with that statement. If you break it down even further, it's white Christians, actually, both mainline Protestants and evangelicals, who are less likely to believe this, that it's part of a pattern, than whites who claim no religious affiliation. About two-thirds of whites who claim no religious affiliation agree with African-Americans that this is part of a broader pattern. But there is something about sort of white Christian affiliation that is sort of much less likely to perceive these patterns. And among evangelicals, for example, it's only about 3 in 10 evangelicals who say that this is part of a pattern. The overwhelming majority say, no, these are just isolated incidents. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's hard to sort of get to solutions when you can't even agree about the reality of the problem, or you can't even come to an agreement on the reality of the problem.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we are. And it's pretty stark, and I think a pretty tough set of opinions that make, I think, coming to some solutions here pretty difficult.
Who is it that is saying, well, figures be damned, Who is in just stubborn denial regarding what you're proving to us?
Yeah. So that last chapter in the eulogy, one of the things I do is I blatantly rip off Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's Stages of Grief to kind of take as a framework for kind of understanding. And so denial, right, is one of the anger and denial are these kind of linked stages of grief. And I think that there are some very clear examples. I would say probably the most straightforward example is probably Franklin Graham, which may be a little bit ironic given the state that his father, Billy Graham, was not really someone who you would associate with a kind of culture war, you know, approach to power, and it wasn't overly kind of partisan and political. But Franklin Graham has, you know, explicitly called on the revival of the Christian right, has been so opposed to President Obama at every turn, and most recently in a meeting in Manhattan with evangelical leaders, was one of the key people introducing Donald Trump, believe it or not, with a smattering of biblical heroes that he was using to set the stage for his support for Donald Trump, basically arguing that there's all kinds of flawed biblical heroes in the Bible. There's only one person, Jesus Christ, one perfect person, Jesus Christ, and he's not running for president. And that was sort of part of his justification for supporting Trump. But I think that justification really is rooted in, you know, a kind of fight to the death to bring back this lost world of white Christian America. And they see Trump as a person who's willing to do that. And Trump himself has very explicitly said, you know, when I'm elected president, I'm going to restore power to the Christian churches. Mm-hmm. And so he's made that direct appeal to those groups.
Are you hopeful or not hopeful about what's next for our country?
You know, I think I'm hopeful about the long run. I think in many ways, you know, we have been here in some ways before, in some ways we haven't, but, you know, we have been in a place where we have had to integrate Catholics into mainstream America. We had to integrate Jews into mainstream America, and there was some seriously ugly periods of American history when that was happening, and then we seem to have gotten to a place, you know, I think in the short term, I'm worried that we may see some real flashpoints, and I think Trump is, you know, exhibit A. Trump's rise in the Republican Party is exhibit A of that. I think I'm hopeful that those are, in some ways, you know, the last gasp of a cultural shift, around a cultural shift, and that we will, I think, as Americans have often done, we will find our way in this new reality. But I do think it's going to take, you know, the groups that have previously been in power, namely white Protestant Christians, you know, taking seriously that they don't own the table anymore, that they're basically going to be guests at a communally owned table, to kind of use, you know, a metaphor. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a real shift, and I think it's not going to come easily. So I think in the long run, I'm hopeful. In the short run, we may be in for a little, you know, one sort of final set of something that may be quite a bumpy ride.